Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Richard Brazier. How are you, Richard?
Very well, thanks.
Excellent, excellent. Last week, we started talking a wee bit about older wines, and I just want to continue that chat a wee bit more. So we were talking about some wines, how they age and how they keep, and let's talk a wee bit about other regions, not even in France.
France.
And France, you know.
Well, yes, you see in Italy, for example, in Piemonte and Tuscany, a lot of wines of that sort of age are no problem at all. But you're looking again at the top end. You're looking at Sassicaia, Salaia, an Ornellaia and that sort of thing. And in Barolo, well, obviously Nebbiolo takes forever to age. And when it does age well, it's excellent. But there are too many examples of old Nebbiolos that are really most unpleasant.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid it's no hard and fast rules. 1990 is a great year for Burgundy. And you were saying earlier, you were surprised how long Burgundy lasts. Well, a decent Premier Cru, Grand Cru from Burgundy from a good producer. The 1990s should still be excellent.
Yep.
And I would have said for another 10 years.
You're talking about the reds, not the whites?
Yes, very much so, yes. No, the whites are a bit, get tired after, 20 years, I think, really. Yeah, certainly. Just struggling.
Really?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, what about from around the world? Oh, the Rhone Valley, 20 years, I'd imagine a Cote Rôti would be all right, 20 years.
Well, yeah, but even some Chateau Neufs. I mean, Beaucastel is the longest lasting Chateau Neuf, and 78 is wonderful at the moment.
Oh, really?
And that's not, again, a matter of just saying, oh, I've had an old Chateau Neuf. It really is gorgeous. And the same with Via Telegraph, which is a lighter style, but almost has the same ability to age. 78 is fantastic wine still.
Okay, what about the rest of the world? Is there any regions of the world that are very popular?
Unfortunately, because of the sort of end of the market, well, we don't actually dabble too much outside. It tends to be mainly for me to drink rather than to sell. And I'll probably show my ignorance here, but I mean, certainly Penfold's Grange would probably be, from Australia, be the only one that I'd feel confident enough to sort of start tasting wines from the 70s and 60s, I think. Mm-hmm. And even California, I'm not sure that I would really want anything beyond the 80s now, I think, really.
Yeah.
With Les Amis du Vin, that we were importing a lot of new California wines no one ever seen, and the flavour was simply extraordinary. I mean, I can't imagine what food you'd ever eat these things, but they were not wines to last.
Yeah.
And I've got a friend of mine who's a very much a Californian fan, and we tasted those sort of older wines at his dinners, but they're not wines to keep for a very long time. No.
Okay. And what about white wines? I had a Condru, Remy Rostang.
Oh, right.
And it was about 10 years old. And everybody says, drink your Condru young, drink your Condru young. And we had a recent vintage, and I can't remember the exact two vintages, but one was quite new, you know, about when people said you got to drink it, and one was quite old, well past when everybody said it's knackered. And with our team last year, and everybody preferred the older one.
Yes. You're right what you're saying, but Condria has this other aspect that you drink it young or you drink it old. It has this bizarre ability. It sort of shuts down, I would say after about 3 or 4 years, and then it sort of somehow picks up after about 10 or 15 years. So, yes, you're absolutely right, but it's never passed there. I mean, we had some halves of 1990 that we sold to a customer the other week, and they still said it was very healthy. And that's obviously 22 years old and in a half bottle. So, I mean, that was Georges Vernet, who's probably the top producer of Condria. But, yes, it's, again, another interesting facet of wine, that's a wine that you drink young or old, but not in the middle.
Okay. And what other white wines do you think? People are talking a lot about white Burgundy, oxidating, premature oxidation.
Oh, gosh, this is a very complex subject. And 1996, which was seen to be such a great vintage for white Burgundy, has seemed to be a disaster. All the wines, it's almost like some sort of gypsy curse has been put on it. And overnight, they've all suddenly become undrinkable. But white Burgundy is certainly the benchmark, I think, for all white wines in the world, really, all the serious fine wines. And they will last the longest.
And what sort of age there would you? Ignoring premature oxidation.
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at something like a Grand Cru, you know, Bataille Morichet, something like that from Domaine Le Fleuve, you could probably go back to 89 fairly happily. But it doesn't sound too old. But I'm not sure what other vintage I would really want to be tasting it at, because the 80s weren't that great for white Burgundy. 86 possibly is okay, but No, you don't want to go too far back with white Burgundy.
Any other region, white wine region, that you think might stack up?
Well, sometimes you get an interesting... Well, sometimes in the Rhone you get some interesting old white Hermitages from Chave. But I find them a bit hit and miss sometimes, but they're built to last. But
that's, what's that, Viognier still, is it? Or?
No, it's not. It's Marsanne and Roussanne and...
Because I quite like Marsanne and Roussanne as a young wine. I always think of them like a Viognier, but with a bit more acidity to them. And more.
Yeah, well, that's right. But very often when you've got a lot of acidity, that's a wine that can be kept, as long as the acidity stays. Obviously, with something like Sauvignon Blanc, the acidity goes pretty quickly. I think that the Rhones are well worth looking at, but they're small, very small production and quite expensive.
And typically, how long would they age for?
Well, I think I had a... Yeah, a white Chard from a good vintage, I would say you've got no problem with 20 years, and it's even worth the risk at 30, I think.
And what about champagne, vintage champagne?
Champagne, yeah, but this is always an interesting subject because people like this idea of having champagne for celebrations. And 73 was a good vintage, but it does worry me however good they look and however well they've been stored. You sort of sometimes wonder whether they're not just going over the hill a little bit. I do warn people that old champagne is nothing like modern champagne. You will get a more delicate sparkle. You'll get a slightly more biscuity flavour. Because most people are used to sort of opening a bottle of champagne and enormous bubbles going everywhere and blinding someone with a cork and all this sort of thing. And it's an effervescent, very acidic wine. But with older champagne, it's not like that at all. It can be very elegant and very nice, but you do have to be careful. So I tend to look at the colour. The lighter the colour, the better. When you move the bottle, obviously, if it's got some sparkle, then that's great. But the storage is very, very important. But it can be very good, but a different style altogether.
Okay, and how long would you say a champagne lasts?
Yes.
As
long as it's the right vintage. I mean, the thing is, at the top.
Yeah, assuming right vintage, good producer.
Right, okay. Well, if you're at the top end and you've got things like Cristal, Krug, Dom Perignon, which are probably the three top producers for fine champagne, then you could go back to something like 64.
Oh, really?
But then, for giving an example, I had to value some Krug 53 some time ago, and it was an unopened case of Krug 53, which is a great vintage, and they looked absolutely perfect. The sparkle was all there, the colour was light as it could be. And I thought, well, that will still be drinking brilliantly. But it's only about £1,000 a bottle, so I never get the chance. But so, again, I'm afraid it's not the answer you want. But you can, in perfect storage, perfect vintage, perfect the best producer, you can keep them, even a champagne, for 60 years.
Oh, excellent. Going back to red wines, what are the key things to a wine as it ages? What are the main structural and flavour things that you'd expect to change?
The obvious thing is tannin. Because tannin is something that they used to say stalks and all years ago in Bordeaux, which basically meant they ground everything out of the grape as much as possible, which meant very tannic wines. And they always felt that the more tannic they were, the better they were, the longer lasting they were, which is great. But with a vintage like 75, when it's so much tannin in it that everything else had sort of passed away before the tannins decided to go. So tannins is a preservative and it helps to keep the wine almost together, but you do want them to dissipate fairly promptly. I'm giving you an example. 96 is a great vintage in Bordeaux. And when I first tasted them all after a couple of years, the tannins were really hard. And even looking at Michael Broadbent, he felt that the 96 may not have the right balance. But a bit like opening doors or the sun coming from outside of a cloud, the 1996, the tannin started to dissipate quite early. So certainly within 10 years, you were really getting to taste the fruit and the acidity was excellent and the balance was all there. So tannin, definitely the things that you want to go, but it has to be there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get that in the Northern Rhone. You'll get less of it in Burgundy, obviously, because as much as anything, it's a Pinot Noir grape. But you'll certainly get that in the Northern Rhone. But that's basically what keeps, and Nebbiolo is a tannic grape, to say the least of it. Yes, that's basically what the tannins, and as it develops, it always has to really be in balance. You don't want driving acidity and everything else hidden. You don't necessarily need to see the fruit in the beginning, but after 10, 12 years, you do need to see the fruit, because if it's not there then, it never will be.
Tannins quite often hide the fruit. When I'm tasting wines, if you can take out the tannins, maybe through salt or something like that when you're eating, then the wine actually tastes fruitier.
Well, yes. Well, and this is why this business of encouraging people to just keep the wines a bit longer. You know, with Champagne, you want to keep them to get the acidity down. And with Bordeaux, don't drink them too young because you'll just get the tannins. Food disguises that. So young wines will taste better with food. But this is what I always stress to people. You know, if the wine tastes too tannic, then don't drink it. If you've got a case of it, then keep it for another 5 years and try another bottle then.
Yep.
But the tannins are not there to be enjoyed.
Mm.
And it puts a lot of people off. So, and I'm afraid in a lot of parts of the world, people drink their wine far too young. And it's very noticeable that even in Robert Parker's book, that his drinking window is very long, very often, but it also lets people think they can drink them probably a bit younger than they can, I think. Because this is going to be a sweeping generalisation, but the American market do like to drink the wines quite quickly. They're not necessarily the most patient when it comes to wine. So it's probably half the customers I've got lost now. and a lot of sort of countries that aren't necessarily, you know, are new to drinking wine probably don't keep them or drink them when they should be drunk to get the most enjoyment.
Okay, what about sugar? We talked about port earlier being a wine that can age. I always think of sugar in a wine is a great antimicrobial. In other words, it kills bugs in there because it sucks the moisture out, sugars like salt in that respect.
Right.
But why does port age so well? Because I don't think it's the sugar that helps it age.
Well, I think it does. Yes, I think it does because it's a bit like the Sauterne. If you have a sort of high sugar level or residual sugar, then they will last longer.
I always think, you know, with high sugar, you need high acidity.
Well, for the balance you do, yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
And acidity is the thing that is a great aging.
Well, exactly, and this is the point about I'm not switching from support, but just quickly going to Sauterne. The best Sauternes are not the sweetest by any means, and this is where I think a lot of New World sweet wines falter, because they go for as much residual sugar as possible, but without the acidity. The great sweet wines don't have any cloying, and they have a lot of rich and sweet fruit, but you have that acidity that isn't always noticeable. But with port, I think it's fine because it's a fortified wine as much as anything.
Yep.
Because of the addition of great brandy, that helps to preserve it and keep it going for so long as well. Mm. I mean, when port is too old, the brandy is still there.
Yeah.
And basically the colour goes and you're just left with the spirit, but that unfortunately takes rather a long time.
All right then, Richard, I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks very much.